morning. It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. We have 17 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for winds in effect from 1 o'clock this afternoon through this evening. Overall, in our forecast, we have north winds, 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 and even to 25 later in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north about 3 feet high at 4 seconds caused by those local winds, and west swells coming in from further out to sea, 4 feet high at about 10 seconds apart. Expect haze in the afternoon out at sea. And we're starting to see the beginnings of the fall weather pattern coming in with those small craft advisory level winds happening. You know, we are, even though it is August, we are sliding slowly into that fall weather pattern when the weather just starts to get more and more difficult, especially right off the coast and at the mouth of the river. So by wintertime, if things go as usual, we'll start to see winds and waves to the point where the ship traffic on the Columbia River bar right at the entrance to the river could be halted temporarily while the weather abates. So can sort of see the inklings of that coming with the small craft advisory. And this always happens, you know, our weather seesaws back and forth as it goes into the winter months, and the weather gets a little bit more interesting, shall we say, as we head on into the fall. And today we're going to continue our chat with Scott McMullen. He is the head of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee, and he's also been a commercial fisherman for 45 years. I interviewed him recently about commercial fishing gear, which is a topic that I have always wanted to know more about, and I'm learning quite a bit listening to this interview about you know, what kind of stuff do they use, gear do they use to catch the fish that all of us eat? So today we're going to be talking about, yesterday we were talking about some of the things you see above water, outriggers and poles and lines going into the water, pulleys and things like that are easily visible. Today we're going to be talking about what is underneath the surface of the water that you probably won't see unless you're on board one of those vessels working on board. So we'll do that in a minute. First, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 7 inbounders, 5 in the Astoria anchorages, including Rice Island, and we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Andes Queen. She's a bulk carrier arriving from Mexico, headed for the anchorage off Calama. She's going to be picking up wheat in Portland eventually, but she's already here on the river. She passed Astoria around 1:30 a.m., could be in the Calama anchorage by now, probably got there about 6:30 a.m. The Urgina Luck is arriving from Japan. She is also another ship that probably is already here in the Astoria anchorage, the Rice Island anchorage, rather, arriving from Japan. She's going to be picking wheat up and probably is already out there. I saw a ship float by as I was getting ready this morning here, float by the window in the Astoria waterfront. You can see the river from the station here. And I think she was headed for the anchorage. You can tell the ships that are headed for the anchorage when they come into the river because they slow down as they're coming under the Astoria-Megler Bridge. So they're going slower. They often have an anchor hanging from a chain just above the level of the water because they're getting ready to stop. And so they start slowing down as they come under the bridge because they're essentially hoping to kind of glide to a gentle stop at the right spot. And so there's a pilot on board advising the captain and the helmsman or woman how to slow down and where to go to put that ship in just the right spot in the anchorage. Next inbound is the Sagittarius Ocean arriving from Los Angeles headed for Calama. She could have big coils of steel on board. In the past, ships that are coming in headed for this berth have carried big, heavy coils of steel, which have to be very carefully lashed inside the ship. And they have people going around checking on things like this because the last thing you want is big, heavy rolls of steel rolling around in your ship. It could easily, this is a whole other topic of ship stability at sea, but stability and weight balance is calculated very carefully on these ships because if a ship is unstable and especially gets in bad weather, it can just flip over and sink in a matter of minutes. So she'll be passing Astoria probably around 1:30 p.m. Look for her in Calama around 6:30 p.m. The Orca Ace is a car carrier arriving from Tacoma, headed for Vancouver. So look for a big high-sided vessel. She has Subarus on board. She'll be passing Astoria in the early afternoon, maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock. That would put her in Vancouver by 7:30, 8 p.m. The Little Prince is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll be gliding into the anchorage at about 6:30 p.m. today. The American Endurance is arriving from Ferndale, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker. She will Maybe you'll see her in a passing Astoria around 8:30 p.m. in Portland. That would put her there at about the middle of the night, 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday. That's an estimate. Global Discovery is arriving from Japan, headed for Longview. She is going to be picking up logs there. She'll pass Astoria in the mid-evening around 9:30. That would put her in Longview by about, a little after maybe 1 a.m. on Wednesday. And in the Astoria Anchorage, the Densa Seal is headed for Portland to pick up potash. She's leaving around 11 o'clock tonight. So Portland, that would put her there about 6 hours later. And we have the Navios Prosperity, the Berge Bandai, the Ins Marmara awaiting orders. And at the port of Astoria, the Eastern Asia is loading logs. Interesting to watch that process if you have time to go by Pier 2. You can drive out there and take a look at her at Pier 1. In our outbounders, the Angelic Zephyr is heading out of Longview carrying wheat. She's another ship that has already passed by. She left around 1 a.m. and passed Astoria probably around 4:30 in the morning. The Forest Trader is leaving Longview with logs on board at about 3. That would put her past Astoria around 6:30 p.m. The GMT Astro is leaving Portland. Hyundai's on board, so a high-sided car carrier heading out of Portland around 6 p.m., so you might see her running lights go by around midnight. And the Scarlet Falcon, she's our ship of the month to track. This month we're going to be seeing where she goes when she leaves the Columbia. Today she's heading out of Kalama carrying wheat at about 6:30 p.m., so around 11:30 p.m. midnight she will cross the Columbia River Bar and head out into the ocean. Tomorrow I'll tell you where she's at, and she's a wheat carrier, so we'll see where she's going from here. And then we have a car carrier, the Bosphorus Highway, leaving Portland with Hondas on board, leaving around midnight, passing Astoria outbound around 6 a.m. on Wednesday. Well, I want to share with you this bit of an interview with Scott McMullen. We're talking about what kind of fishing gear is underwater that we don't see. What's happening underwater that people can't see?
Well, the nets, the trawl nets, are all basically a large funnel. They're typically a funnel shape laid horizontally, and they have a wide mouth that the fish are gathered in, and then they funnel down to the collection point, or we call it the cod end, at the back end of the net. So the nets are typically held open by floats on the top and weight on the bottom. On a bottom fish trawl net, you'd have rubber bobbins and weight with chain and whatnot that make that bottom of the net stay down close contact with the seabed. And then they have floats on the top half of the net so that the mouth of the net is open vertically. And then there's large, we call them doors. A simpler way to think of them if you visualize a kite has bridles to force the angle of the kite to shear upward into the wind. Well, the trawl doors have that same sort of bridle arrangement, but set up sideways. So it's one trawl door is shearing outboard on each side.
And so that's what you, when we were talking previously about a shrimp door.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so that is that something that helps the net catch the fish?
Not so much the catch the fish. It just holds the net open.
Holds the net open.
So
okay.
Each net has a port and starboard door. If it's a double rig shrimper, they have four doors. They have two doors for one net and two doors for the other. And all four doors are shearing outward from the net that they're attached to. So they're holding the mouth of the net open sideways while the floats and the weights hold it open vertically.
And that was Scott McMullen. He's a commercial fisherman for 45 years, chair of the Oregon Fishermen's Cable Committee. We're talking during this series about commercial fishing gear. And boy, when I was listening to this and kind of absorbing it, it made me think that when you see a commercial fishing boat and you're out there in a boat yourself, you should really give a wide berth to these vessels, as well as you should to tugs and barges, because they have a lot going on there, and you do not want to get caught up in any of that gear. So you're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening.